It's gonna be a good day. If you go the right way, you might die quickly or solve a mystery. What adventure will you choose? What would Jerry do?
Hey y'all, and welcome back to What Would Jerick Do?
Don't you know it's a Choose Your Own Adventure podcast?
I do.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now everybody does.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Eric.
I'm Chad.
And we're back again for another book by the fantastical R.A. Montgomery.
I'm telling you what, I think I'm going to be super into this book. It seems... like, danger is around every corner.
It looks exciting. The picture on the front's full of tall buildings, lots of smoke, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
We're on a boat already.
Takes place in one of my favorite cities in the U.S.
Yeah, it is a beautiful city. I was just out there this past year for the first time. San Francisco. Oop, plot spoiler.
Oh, plot spoiler.
Oh, well.
If the Golden Gate Bridge wasn't.
Right. That's true. I already gave it away. So it doesn't matter. Hey, well, welcome back.
Yeah, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, thanks for sticking with us this long. Can't believe you guys are still listening to us babble on, but we love it.
I can. We're pretty funny. And humble.
Very humble, yes. If Cherick is nothing else, he is super humble. Yes, indeed. We're probably going to dive in here shortly. Just a quick reminder, folks, plug it. We love it when you plug it.
That seemed weird.
Yeah.
That got awkward.
Well, we got to remind these people somehow. We need some sort of saying.
I think maybe that was it. Yeah, but you know what that means, people. It's not sexual at all. Just, you know, like us on Facebook, rate and review us on iTunes and all that fun jazz. But...
Chad says it better than I, so listen to him.
You know, I was thinking today a
mm-hmm.
little bit.
Mm. Really?
You
were thinking?
It's a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just remembering, like, growing up on the farm, like, reading these books and listening to, you know, to the sound of, like, the crickets outside in the evening and, like, the lightning bugs floating in the air on the... warm summer nights and a, you know, breeze blowing in the windows. And
you know, you don't see many lightning bugs anymore.
Not really. Not in the city anyway. When I go home, I see them quite a bit.
Oh, I guess that's a fair point.
And, you know, it's a fun memory. And just diving into a good old choose your own adventure mm-hmm. and getting lost in the story with Ari.
It is enjoyable every time, my friend. I remember a time when I was ice fishing. In the, you know, northern province of Canada.
Okay.
Where,
which one of the...
Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a pretty cool place. Very uh-huh. cold, but I love the cold. And I also love ice, and I love fish. So it was just a really...
Hey, man,
you know, it was everything I love
like
wrapped into one, you know.
Yeah.
And really became part of the community up there. Pretty much was an Eskimo for a while, you know. I mean, not really, but they kind of, you know...
They, welcome to it eventually.
Yeah, yeah, they did. You guys can't see the hand gestures, but I was like, they were hugging me.
Into
yes,
the
arms. The arms, all the arms wrapping around. So, you know, we'd go out every day and we'd fish and read these books. It's a perfect thing to do because, man, you just sit there some days for a long time and it's really a patience game. So, yeah, it was a cool time in my life. But,
You know, sounds like it.
You know, you gotta move on from things eventually.
You gotta try new experiences and visit new places, and mm-hmm. you've definitely done that.
Well, for sure.
I applaud you for it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to have ended up here with such a wonderful gentleman to read these books and to spread the joy of Choose Your Own Adventure.
And Cherick.
And Cherick. Can't forget Cherick.
No. What do you say? What should we tell them about the book a little bit?
I think it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, so this is Choose Your Own Adventure number 15. I'm holding it up to the microphone. So
yes, can you read it, folks? Can you read it?
So you guys can
see the picture here.
So you can see the cover.
Yes, the nice details.
It is kind of metallic-y.
You know, it's pretty shiny.
Anyway,
it's shimmery, I think.
Choose Your Own Adventure number 15, Beyond Escape.
With an exclamation point. Beyond Escape! So we're screwed.
Yeah. Written by R.A. Montgomery himself.
The man, the legend, again, with another book. So I'd say we just get right into it.
Yeah, I think we should come together as
Cherick.
Yeah, we're gonna crush it. I'm ready. We're gonna escape.
Oh yeah, no.
We're not beyond
escape.
Nothing
is beyond escape for Cherick.
Yeah, no, we got this in the bag. Wow.
Yowza.
Okay, so I'm already stressed out. I don't know about you.
Choice one is a doozy. Woo.
All right, this was actually nice. There's a lot of backstory here, but he did it in a very succinct way.
Yeah.
So,
why don't I tell them what we have learned?
That's probably a good idea. You read it. You know it. You go.
All right. So here is what happened.
Go.
I'm going. Okay.
Go.
No. Okay. So it's the year 2051.
Mm.
The United States is no more. There was a vicious war, and the United States broke up into two countries, Tertalia and Dorado.
Mm.
So Tertalia is basically like Colorado and like Nevada, Utah, and like North.
Mm-hmm.
And the capital city is Denver, and Dorado is everything to the south of that. Texas, Oklahoma, etc.
Okay.
To the west is like a rebel state.
Just a bunch of people who don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and they refer to it as Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially California.
Okay.
It's the rebel state. And to the east is like untamed lands.
The rebel
like
state
everything,
in California.
Everything.
How strange.
To the east of, like, the Mississippi River is just, like, unclaimed territory.
We should go there.
Not an option, my friend, not an option. Okay, so, Tertalia won a war. They defeated the Doradans, but the Doradans quickly, like, fought back and seceded again.
Mm-hmm. But guess who was one of, like, the major people in the battle against Dorado?
We were. So we are a Tertalian hero. Only three men have been honored with the award we were given, and two of them are dead.
Yeah, we wear a ribbon or something.
Yeah, it's a gold and silver ribbon.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's ours.
So, we are the chief of operations for the Tertalian Spy Agency.
Yeah, we are. That sounds awesome.
The TSA.
The TSA. My, how times change.
So as the head of the TSA, we send two spies, Matt and Mimla, to...
They're twins.
Yes. Two of our best agents. It doesn't say that they're twins.
They're totally twins. Matt and Mimla are twins.
They are twins. Or at least brother and sister.
We know this because we're the director of operations and we sent them.
Oh, clearly. So Matt and Mimla, twin brother and sister of Tertalia. Twin spies.
Yes.
We sent them to California to, like, see what's going on there, because it's so hard with all the guerrilla-style warfare, like, to figure out what's going on.
We sent them to California, or we sent them to Dorado?
California.
Okay. So, to Rebellion.
Yeah, to Rebellion.
Okay.
Because we think the Doradans might be trying to work with the Californians to, like, make a new attack on Tertalia.
Okay.
Okay. Like, through Oregon. Or what was formerly called Oregon.
Right.
They're very specific. Like, everything is what was formerly California, what was formerly San Francisco. So, we get a couple messages checking in from Matt and Mimla. Last we heard, they were about 100 miles east of what was formerly called San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the last thing we've heard of them. They've missed their, like, last three check-ins.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So, fast forward now, us in our office in Denver, the capital of Tertalia is Denver, mm-hmm. Colorado,
yep.
What was formerly called Colorado.
Normal day, chilling at the TSA.
Yeah, totally. And so, an officer bursts in the door, and they're like,
boom!
Haven's escaped!
What?
We're like, what? And immediately we know Haven is one of the most dangerous Duradan spies that we have had in custody for a while.
Yeah, that man is not good news. And she's like,
wait, that's not it. It gets worse. He also stole 3 top secret files from our computer system before he got away. And we're like, some bitch.
Nincompoops.
And then before we can even deal with that, another officer like bursts in and hands us a piece of paper. And it's a message from Matt and Mimla that says that they're in trouble. It's very important. They have information for us. There's no time. Hurry. Hurry and get here if you can. And then it just ends with, we are, and then nothing after that. We don't know what they are. So that's our choice. We've got 2 urgent crises to deal with. If we decide to go after Haven and the missing top secret files, we turn to page 10. And if we decide to go find Matt and Mimla, we turn to page 93.
Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So, like, this isn't... It's just completely different, like, storylines?
Maybe. Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. But or it's just, not. Like, they're, it's not, like... They both seem very important, I guess.
They're both very important.
And so that's where I'm struggling.
I do, however, feel like as the head of this agency, it's our responsibility to lock important shit down. And the fact that somebody has stolen 3 top secret files from us is a really big deal. I hate to say this, but unfortunately that might take precedence over 2 of our agents whom we know, even if captured, will not divulge secrets.
But maybe they have secrets that they can't get to us, and it's, like, important. Like, the Duradans are attacking next week.
It seems very speculative to me.
We did send them there to, like, sniff out what the Duradans were doing in California.
We did.
And if it wasn't important, I don't think they would have sent that message. Like, if they had it on lockdown.
I'm not trying to imply that it's not important.
You're just saying that they can handle their shit.
Perhaps that they can get themselves out of this, or even if they can't, maybe there are more pressing matters at hand.
So you think we ought to go...
I just don't think having one of the most dangerous Duradans free with really top secret information about our marvelous country is a good thing at all. I think it is. I think that is a more important fire to put out right now. As much as it pains me because Matt and Mimsy, or whatever her name Mimla. Is, are really cool... And I hope to see them again, but sometimes you just can't let your emotions get in the way of these really intense decisions. Plus, what are we going to do?
Since when are you, like, the non-emotional one?
We're in Denver, man. They're in San Francisco. What are we even going to do right now?
Fly to Denver? Fly to San Francisco?
What? See, by that time, they're already going to be dead. It's not even going to matter.
Okay, I mean, I'll go. I think I agree with you. Somewhat. Like, I think I was kind of, like, 60-40 leaning to going after Haven.
Yeah.
So I think you, like, give me that little extra push to be more confident in that choice. He does seem more important. Like, I kind of wonder, like, why we can't just send other people after him.
Right. Fair enough.
And us go deal with our agents.
Right.
Because we surely have other agents... That could go after a bad guy.
Well, see, it seems to me that we should be going after this bad guy and other agents can go help our agents.
True. I guess that card plays both ways.
Like, security risk seems to be our responsibility.
Okay. Safety of the agents seems...
Right.
For me, like...
We can always send more agents.
We can always throw more logs on that fire.
Yeah. Yeah, we got plenty. Lots of kids in training, too.
Okay, well, let's do it. Let's go after Haven. We'll turn to page 10.
All right.
But it's your decision, and I'm going to let you read it.
Okay. Done. Oh, Chad. That was great.
Sorry.
Well, all right, folks, we found... We have found ourselves in a really sticky situation here.
A real sticky wicket.
And by sticky, I mean deadly. Okay, so to jump back here, so we make the decision to go after Haven, right? And I guess it's been a few hours since he's gotten out of his cell. Apparently, he farmed some herbs from the community garden that was able to knock out his guards, which is super frustrating. I just wish that we would have, you know, realized these herbs could, you know, be so potent.
One would think.
You know, but I guess not. And he escaped and somehow got these three files, as to which we're not sure of how it happened, but it seemed to highly indicate that there's probably some Duradin spies inside the Tertallian ranks here. So
yeah, in the TSA.
Yeah, it's just the game that we're playing here in the future. So it's rough times, and we try to push Matt and Mimla out of our mind because we know they got to focus on this one thing. So we hit the emergency button, and some people start rushing in. Also, we have like a fleet of helicopters and tanks and a highly trained
Army
mountain
Rangers.
Climber ranger people at our command. So, like, we have a force to be reckoned with.
Indeed.
And so these officers rush in, and they're all pretty panicked, and they're talking about what we're going to do, and, you know, if it's useless or whatever. And some of the men question us because we say, hey, look, we're going to scan the area. We're surrounded by miles of, like, a prairie desert terrain, so we couldn't have gotten far. And then they all ask and, you know, question us. They say, maybe he's still on the base. And we're like, man, look, we've searched this base, but we'll leave a unit behind just in case. And the rest of us are going to go out and search the desert. And Cherik, we're going to lead a squad of helicopters and search from above. So that's what we do.
Yeah.
And Captain Ricardo is in command of the ground fleet. And so they move out and we take our helicopter, which is one of the super new generation, high speed, low noise helicopters. It's really sweet, super awesome. We've got a great pilot. He really knows what he's doing. And soon we're soaring up and we're checking out the land through these goggles that we can zoom up to like 70 times. And they also pick up radiation, so they're super awesome, fancy.
Yeah, like we can
goggles.
See animals and stuff, you know, like heat radiation.
Right, all that cool stuff, because it's the future. And so we're flying and we're looking and we haven't seen anything, and suddenly these thick clouds envelop our helicopter and everything around us, and our radio communication is knocked out. And then for some reason the clouds contain a choking, blinding gas, so we start like gagging and coughing up blood and all that nasty stuff, and then we both reach for our oxygen equipment, but the pilot slumps forward and stops breathing, and he's dead.
Because he got shot in the head.
Maybe, yeah. All it says is that a crimson circle appears on his uniform over his heart.
Yep. Shot.
How did he get shot? We're in the mid.
Don't know. He definitely got shot.
Okay, fair enough. I missed that detail the first time. I was kind of confused. But that's crazy. Well, that's extra terrifying. So
now we're in a helicopter with a dead pilot.
With a dead pilot surrounded by gas and apparently snipers.
2,000 feet in the air.
Well, so we have two options, Chad. If we try to land the helicopter ourselves, turn to page 18.
Yeah.
And our second option, if we decide to if we decide to bail out, turn to page 86.
Why would we not land the helicopter?
Well, maybe there's like a parachute that we can just take and jump out.
But we could get, like, below this cloud of glass. We got, like, poison gas. Like, if we jump out, we're just going to be, like, floating in a cloud of poison gas. And, like, pass out.
Well, not if we're wearing our oxygen mask. If we stay in the helicopter, what if we get sniped? What if we just get shot like our pilot?
Like, sniped as we gently float to the ground on a parachute?
Okay, it's not preferable either way. I guess I'm seeing, that's true, we have to pull our parachute, but once we jump out of the helicopter, we'll be like zooming down through the atmosphere and getting out of that cloud, and then you know, pulling our shoot to the very last minute and making it down and maybe breaking our left leg because we waited a little bit too long. Yeah. That's kind of how I saw it going, but I can see your scenario also being
we just shot dead.
Yeah, we're just hanging out there like, oh, here's the crown. Dead.
Dead.
So we don't also have any good options
everybody's
here.
Everybody's like waiting for us, like, right, they're like just looking up, and then they're like, oh, it's going to land over there? Okay, let's go over there. Oh, he's coming back this way.
Yeah, he's hooping back around.
Let's go over this way. And like having tons of time to be able to like do that action. But I guess maybe Ricardo's on the ground, so we have ground troops, so maybe they could come get us.
Right.
Either way.
Right. You think that we should try to land it though?
That's what I think. I think we should just try to land this helicopter. Like, surely we're not the chief of operations of the TSA. And haven't had, like, helicopter training.
Well, that's a fair point. That's a that, yeah.
And, like, we should have the skill
to land a helicopter. You know what? We're Cherokee. We can land this helicopter.
We can land a helicopter.
There's no reason to bail out right now.
No.
Yeah.
Bail out in a minute.
Right.
Like, if that goes south.
Yeah. And if we keep getting shot at.
Also true. So okay. Let's land the helicopter. Okay. Where are we turning to?
We're going to turn to page 18.
Okay.
And we're going to land this sucker. Well,
fucking aliens.
That really took a turn for the weird, folks.
Oh my god.
Of all the things that I did not expect to encounter in this book, fucking aliens was not one of them. Oh my god. Okay, so we move the helicopter. No, I'm gonna start over.
Okay.
We move the pilot out of the way.
Yeah.
And take control of the helicopter.
Not a problem.
Right. We get it back under control. No big deal, right? And we frantically try to get back onto the radio, like, seeing if anybody can hear us yet. But there's no response. There's not even, like, a crackling, cackling, any sort of static on the radio. And we're looking at this control panel, and it's been totally destroyed. And we think, oh, it must have been the same attack that killed the pilot. And then we think, well, we didn't hear anything or see anything. And so what happened? Like, how could this guy be dead and this be exploded? We don't understand. And just when we think we had the helicopter under our control, it starts pitching and yawing again. And it's just in an upheaval. And we're kind of panicking. And then we see them, right? Three luminescent, disc-like shapes moving at a slow speed. And they zoom right by us on our port side. And then we apparently get a clear look at them. And then we lean out of the helicopter and we yell, oh no, these are alien ships, not Doradan planes. So I don't know why the aliens are attacking us, but apparently...
Me neither.
Apparently they are. Maybe the Doradans made some sort of a treaty with the aliens.
Who knows? Maybe that's what Matt and Mimla were going to tell us.
Oh, that would have been interesting. Anyway, we desperately attempt to fly and dive away from the oncoming fire and alien crafts, but two of them converge on us with a speed that we are unknown, that we are not used to seeing. So, like, they're super fast, and it's freaky. And we're like, help, help, anyone, someone, they're going to get... And this is what it says. It says, those are the last words you ever say. The end. So
add like blown up by alien ships to ways that we've died.
Randomly. Died. Yeah. Like what?
Nowhere in this book had they even mentioned aliens.
We went out to search for this Haven character and we get fucked up by aliens? I only hope that he did too. Good lord.
So?
Well, we have... What, two options? We could just give up on Haven altogether and
we could go search for Matt and Mimla.
We could.
Go back to our first choice of the book and go find Matt and Mimla. Or we could jump out of the helicopter.
Do you think both of these would be endings?
Yeah, I really do.
And that, like, we're like really alien, supposed to go after Matt
like
and Mimla.
If there's, like, alien ships...
We're really on the wrong path.
You like that shoot us when we're flying a helicopter? They'll surely take us prisoner or something if we jump out.
We should go after Matt and Memo.
I think we should go. I think we should go back to the beginning and go after Matt and Memo.
All right. Well, I was, man, okay. All right.
We'll, I mean, we gave this Haven thing a shot. I just think if we read this other choice, like,
it's going to just be the second. And that's
it's
done
like
for,
a
yeah.
second death. Maybe not immediately, but like one choice after that for sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I am excited to go check out Matt and Memla and check out futuristic San Francisco.
Also, it's like on the cover of the book.
Maybe that should have been a subtle hint factored
in to our like first decision.
Nope, I was pretty adamant. I was pretty darn adamant that we didn't need to save those people. Nah, they can handle themselves.
Like when we did Indiana Jones, and it's like Indiana Jones and like the Valley of the Kings, mm-hmm. and then we get to the choice. It's like, do you want to go to the Valley of the Kings, or do you like want to stay here and do this other thing? And we're like, Valley of the Kings. Yeah. Who needs that?
Right.
And then we like stayed and did the other thing and died.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think that was actually the end of the book. But we did a good job.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It was just like...
Right, but the whole book was the Valley of the Kings.
And then we didn't go to the Valley of the Kings. Yeah, and then San Francisco's on the cover.
And we never even visited.
And we never even went.
Well, we're going to rectify that, folks. We are jumping back to our very first decision.
We're going to turn to page 93, and we're going to go find Matt and Memla.
And I will give the book back to my good friend Chad here.
Yeah, so another head scratcher, but here's what went down. So we send some captain to go handle Haven. They're like, we're like, get Captain Von Marschmecker.
Yeah.
And
she seems pretty
right
competent.
Away.
Like, yeah. We were pretty and adamant she's that like, she's going to be aces for the job.
And we're like, go get Haven in the files. And she's like, I'll do my best. And we're like, you better do better than your best. We need those files. Like, we were very stern.
Do better, your best. Ooh.
I don't know. What?
Well, I just made it up. Okay. I mean, it's really you better, you bet.
Okay.
I was trying to do a weird swap there. It didn't really work that well.
It didn't really work out.
I should have been more confident. Too late. Moving on.
We'd order our lieutenant to, like, get our motor glider ready. And she's like, but, sir, the president and... peace coordinator told you not to do any more solo missions. And we're like, screw the president and his orders. Like, I've got to take care of this one. He can reprimand me when I get back.
I really did feel like you got into the character particularly well this time around, Chad.
Thanks.
Like, I really felt the old, like, kind of gray and grizzled Cherrick who had been on 100 missions before and was like, look... Like, it might have been 10 years ago, but I still got my grit.
This is very, like, Bruce Willis in, like, the last Die Hard movie. He's like, I have done this so many times, kid.
Getting too old for this shit.
and so we're like, get the motor, we're going, you know? And so we, like, head to, like, the airport or whatever, airfield.
And pretty soon we're off.
We're on our way.
We get a thrill of exhilaration back on our own solo mission.
And then I accidentally turn to the wrong page.
Right, Chad's like,
turn to the next page. Turn to the next page when I wasn't supposed to, and then it's like the freaking aliens that we just read about, and I'm like, come on!
But no!
But that's not what happened.
But he just...
So we get to California, Northern California, to where, like, the coordinates where... Matt and Memla were last heard from.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, like, campfires, but we don't... And, like, blinking lights, but we don't know, like... They could be sheep herders or Duradin spies or, you know, Californians or whatever. Like, we don't know who these people are.
Or Californians. No!
We have a lot of people in California who listen to our podcast.
It's true. I mean, I love California.
I love California.
Personally. Lived there for a couple years, too. Surprise, surprise. You know, it's a great
place.
We've
been all over.
It's a great place.
Amazon, Saskatchewan, Indiana, California.
I was trying to get
train jumping.
I wanted a rhyme in. How about?
yep. Washington.
Yeah. Washington. There it is. There it is. For some reason, my friend went to Armageddon, and I'm like, no.
Armageddon.
No, I haven't been there. Haven't been there yet.
Boston.
I'm still drawing blanks, but you're pulling them up left and right. Oh man.
Anyway, so we see, and then in the distance we see the lights of San Francisco, and we remember that there's like an underground like network in San Francisco. There used to be. And maybe we could go to San Fran and, like, tap what's left of this underground network to help us find Matt and Mimla.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just, like, set down and go investigate the campfires. So that's our choice. If you think an investigation of the campfires below will lead to your agents, turn to page 30. If you decide to try and contact the underground in San Francisco, turn to page 28.
This is a tricky one.
It is tricky. Do you have an opinion? Do you want to know what I think?
I do want to know what you think.
I think we should go to San Francisco.
My first instinct was that these campfires seem like a really lousy shot. Like, we don't know what's waiting for us at these campfires.
And, like, something cut off their message. You know what I mean? Assuming, like, they were taken.
Mm.
Or something, you know, so, like, if they were taken, like, they wouldn't just be, like, camping out, like, right by where they got taken from.
That's true.
But also, maybe somebody saw something.
It's true. I mean, there could be something gained from investigating some of the campfires around the area. I mean, what if they didn't, right? What if they are still somewhere close by? What if they didn't get captured? And are just, like, waiting for someone to come up and find them.
Yeah, maybe their radio ran out of batteries.
Who knows? So, I am certainly up for going to San Francisco.
Like, maybe we should do our due diligence here before we just, like, fly on by.
I mean, that's a little bit what it feels like, right? We're like right here. We've arrived here. Maybe we should at least check out something or one campfire and see what's going on around the area.
Kind of like investigate where they got taken from to see if there's any clues.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could see that.
It just feels like it would be a waste if we went all the way to San Francisco to find nothing, right? And then to have known that we passed up
something,
right?
Potentially.
Yeah, and I don't know if there is anything. That's the tricky part.
I think doing our due diligence here and investigating what we have here before we just go on. I mean, if we don't find anything, we'll just go to San Francisco.
That's true.
You know?
And if we die, we'll just go to San Francisco.
Either way. All roads
lead to San Francisco.
To San Francisco.
Is that a song? I think that's a song.
There's it's not San Francisco.
Is it home?
All roads lead somewhere.
To Rome.
Yeah.
Home is where the heart is?
Home on the range?
Where the deer and the antelope play?
Yeah. Where seldom is heard
a discouraging word. And the skies are all cloudy all day and filled with dangerous gas and aliens.
Isn't that like the state song in Kansas?
Yeah.
Fun fact for y'all. Alright, so we're going to turn to page 30.
Sounds great.
And investigate the campfires.
We should sing the Kansas National Anthem again before we move along.
No.
Okay. Okay, so real quick turnaround here.
Yeah.
We're swooping in, right?
Yeah, we're like making, you know, just like circles.
We're scouting for a good landing spot.
Trying to get a sense of the terrain. We like dive down a few thousand feet to like get a better look at it.
Right.
And
we spy some good spots to land and close to some campfires too.
Yep.
But we wonder if we should try to use our radio to contact someone and to see if they're down there.
I'm going to tell you, that's pretty risky.
Right, it seems pretty risky.
Because what if it's a bad guy? And then, boom, hey, we're enemies. Shoot us now, please.
Right.
or, you know, but also it'd be nice to, like, have somebody, like, scout around before we just, like, plop our ship down.
Right.
So that's our choice, is if, do we decide to use our radio first, or do we just land? And there's a lot of me that feels like we'll have a much easier time escaping if we use our radio, and then if it's not the good people, then we can just fly the hell out of there, versus landing and then trying to get out then when we're on the ground surrounded by everyone.
See, I just feel like if we land, that's like a much more like covert spy like thing to do, like land in a grassy field and sneak in and see what's going down.
That's true. There is something, you know, very classic and exciting about it.
Like a very like classic spy movie trope.
Behind enemy lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a tough one, because I feel like on the one hand it would, you know, it would bypass us so much time, right? Or would it? Like, even if we don't hear anything, that doesn't mean that they're not down there.
Even they might not even answer us. They just hear our radio and they're like, boom, bang, dead.
Right. They're like, you idiot, why are you on the radio here?
I kind of like the, like, covert, okay, like, spy, okay, like, let's land on the grassy plains, okay, sneak up, to a campfire, surveil it,
okay,
to see if they're dangerous or not before we just start announcing ourselves to all of rebellion.
That's probably a very wise thing to do. I'm going to trust your judgment on this, and we will not
use the radio. It's never led us astray before.
Your judgment?
Yep.
Oh, what a funny memory you have. At least I can admit it.
Ooh. We all know I have the best memory.
All right, so we're going to not use the radio.
Yeah, we're going to land. We're going to turn to page 37.
Heck yeah.
I definitely know exactly what we should do.
Okay, maybe we should catch the folks up first.
Yeah, but this is going to be an easy one.
Okay, Chad is assured in his choice. So we decide we're going to land, right? And we circle the spot a couple times, make sure that it's perfect, and then we sure enough, you know, swoop in, get low, control the glider expertly, and land. we congratulate ourselves on a pretty good landing. Turned out pretty well. You know, we get our kind of our supplies together out of the plane, and we get our survival kit out, and we step out onto the wing of the plane, and immediately we hear a voice, "Don't move or you're dead." And we hear the unmistakable click of an automatic weapon going from safety to full automatic, and we're like, oh my god, no, okay, hands in the air, I'm dropping everything, not moving. And so then we get down, and he makes us turn around, and we're surrounded by five people dressed in civilian clothes. And one of them has a lamp, and he kind of holds it up, and he looks at us, and he says, "If you're a Doradan, you can count the moments left in your life on both hands. If you're not, you'd better start talking fast." So, here we are, gun pointed at our head. If we tell our captors who we really are and explain about Matt and Memla, we turn to page 3. Or if we pretend we're a civilian trying to locate your brother, our brother, pardon me, who lives outside of San Francisco, we turn to page 32. Chad, you are so certain what we should do.
Yeah, I tell the truth. Matt and Memla, we're from the TSA.
You think so?
Yeah.
But we're spies. We're a spy. We shouldn't just, like, give up our information.
Wait, who has, right, this? Who has a plane like this? Who just, like, runs around in a plane like this looking for their brother? A civilian in Colorado with a plane like this?
A super rich civilian, you know, like Bruce Wayne-esque. We're like the Batman of Tertalia, maybe. You don't know.
Maybe.
They don't know. Who are they? They're going to judge us? They're going to judge us for our nice plane? We're going to get shot because we have a plane?
Yep.
What kind of a world is this?
It's rebellion, y'all.
Yeah, you're right. Well,
an untamed land.
I do agree that
guerrilla warfare.
We're not going to do ourselves any good if we don't bring up Matt and Memla while we're here.
We're like, we're trying to find our brother. Also, have you heard of Mountain Mimla?
People that we're looking for who's not our brother. Okay, yeah.
I just feel like this is the moment to be truthful.
Plus, we're already assured that, you know, they're at least not Duradin and are against the Duradins. So yeah, maybe we can also present
ourselves to be anti-Duradin.
Totally. All right.
Win their
hearts.
Heart, affection, yeah. Respect.
Love.
Something.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Well, in that case, we're going to turn to page 3.
Great. Let's do it.
Well, here we are, Chad. Here we are again.
Should we stay or should we go now?
Should we stay or should we go now? Should we trust this man or stay? Or, okay, well, we should just stop singing.
We should make a musical.
We should cheer at the musical.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Musical episode.
And, like, every once in a while we ask the audience to, like, hold up, like, cards to see, like, how we proceed in the musical.
Ooh, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Off-the-cuff musical.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that you think big a lot, Chad.
Hey.
Grandiose.
Grandiose is my style.
All right. Well, getting back to the story here, we tell him that, you know, we're from the TSA.
Yeah.
And that we're looking for these people, Matt and Mimla, who are our agents. And this guy, the leader of the pack, his name's Sellers. He doesn't really believe us, but he says, hey, follow me, we'll take you back to camp and we'll talk it over. So, sure enough, we follow him and we get tired. Like, it's an hour walk to this camp. And we're exhausted after flying all that. And finally we get there, and it's got old tattered tents. But hey, at least it's shelter. And we sit down and Sellers is like, hey, tell me your story. So we do. We tell them all about us. We tell them all the amazing things that we've done for Tertalia and for the world and how awesome we are and how humble we are and all those wonderful things. And by the end of it, he goes, humph, guess that sounds pretty reasonable. Never can really trust you folks anyway. How about we make sort of a trade here? So, you know, we're intrigued. And we're like, what kind of a trade?
What are you thinking?
Right. Like, what do you got in mind? And he's like, look, you fly me to several other rebel bases here. So these guys are rebels. They're fighting the criminal gang that runs San Francisco, known as the Corporation. Really clever name there for those folks. He's like, I know where these rebel bases are, or should be. And once we stop, I'll get them to help look for your people. But I can also kind of help them coordinate our actions against the corporation units in the areas. Is it a deal? And we're like, well, what if it's not? He says, hey, look, we'll just wait until you agree because we got time. It's all we got, actually. We just got time.
If you don't want to, well, we can sit here. Right,
we could wait here all year.
Week, month, year.
Yeah. You can grow a nice beard. Sleep in these tents.
Yep.
That orange one's yours.
What do you say?
So, if we decide to take Sellers to other rebel bases, turn to page 24. If we decide to wait it out, turn to page 11. I really feel like we should just take him.
Yeah, okay, but I had another thought.
Okay.
I agree with you. Like, that's totally what we're going to do.
Okay.
After I, like...
pontificate?
Yeah. So, the corporation... It's 2051, and the rebellion in San Francisco is called the Corporation.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking back to all of our other adventures.
Yeah.
In which there was, like, a corporate stooge trying to derail us.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the very first pilot.
Okay.
And there's been several, right?
I feel like there have. Yeah.
Several corporate stooges.
Maybe not corporate stooges, but corporations or things of that nature.
Things of that nature getting in our way. And yeah. What if they're all connected and have come together to form the corporation in 2051? California, and that's all freaking ties together. And this whole time we thought these were all separate stories.
No, it's all one connected universe.
And it's all one connected universe, and it just is kind of blowing my mind a little bit.
That would extremely fit with the theme of the first part of the 21st century so far. Extended universes are the thing. I mean, they're hot commodities right now.
Like, when we don't even know we're in one.
Dude, this is the Cherrick verse.
The Cherrick verse?
Yeah, that's what we're in right now. We're this is the Cherrick verse. We're creating it.
We're creating it. So like 2051.
The corporation, Cherrick versus the corporation. What if the corporation is in league with the evil power master?
Shoot. I don't even want to think about it.
Right? What are the possibilities? Is there no end to the evil?
What if the corporation is run by Yeti doppelgangers?
Oh my god. Those Shangri-La hogging bastards. Ugh.
I don't know, man.
Me either. I guess anyway, we should probably just take Sellers to some other rebel bases.
Yeah, take this guy to another rebel base and maybe I'll have another mind-blowing revelation.
I sure hope so. I hope we find Matt and Mimla real quick here. All right, we're turning to page 24, folks. And I'm going to hand this back over to Chad. Oh my god. Chad! out of the frying pan into fire, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. So, here's what happened. I tell you what, this book is not pulling any punches.
You know, it's full of surprises, man. I did not see this one coming. Both of our deaths now have been dramatically surprising and swift. And
horrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sellers gets on the plane. We're like, let's roll. We're going to take you wherever you want to go. And we get on the plane and we take off. And he's like, you know we were completely surrounded down there, right?
And we're like, what? We're like,
what?
Yeah, they were like,
for Big Fudge?
Five. What?
It's from How I Met Your Mother.
Sorry. Big Fudge?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
Judge Fudge.
Judge. Nope. See over my head.
All right. Come again for Judge Fudge? Anyway.
So yeah, there were like five Duratan camps and some corporation stooges down there. And so yeah, surprisingly
they made it out. They'd been tracking them for like weeks, just waiting for the chance to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, hey, well, I guess I hope you know where you're going, Sellers. And he's like, yeah, oh no, I gotcha. And he gives us directions, and we head that way, and we're like, man, I hope we're getting close, because there looks like there's some bad weather ahead.
Great.
And he nods, and we turn our attention back to flying our delicate motor glider.
Yeah.
And we dodge in and out of the clouds, climbing, diving, banking, lightning's flashing all around us, and we ascend up to 12,000 feet to try to get out of the clouds, and the wind's blowing like 40 knots, and it's just blowing our plane to and fro, left and right, up and down.
And then it says, like, you hope that you can get out of here alive.
Oh, yeah. So then we, like, dive down below the clouds trying to find a place to land, but no success, right? And time passes in agonizing minutes. That's a quote from the text.
Oh, God.
And I just read the last two paragraphs?
Please do.
Okay, I'm quoting the text here. Time passes in agonizing minutes. Hope for a break in the storm is the only thing that keeps you going. Finally, you enter a cloud so dense and so high that you pray you will get out of it alive. Your prayer is not answered. You and Sellers and your airplane meet the unyielding rock face of a mountain hidden by the clouds. The end comes mercifully fast. The end.
Yay. I'm so glad we died mercifully fast. Yeah.
Smacked into the side of a mountain.
We flew right into that mountain.
Flew straight into it.
We didn't even have a chance, apparently. So now I'm just worried because our last choice that we had was to wait it out.
Yeah.
And so now we're just sitting surrounded by all of these evil people.
That's true.
But we're just going to have to see how it turns out, I guess.
We're just going to have to see how it turns out. So we're going to turn to, using our last respawn.
Here we go.
We're going to turn to page 90.
All right.
And
here we go.
Wait it out. Okay. First off, I'm finally happy with this book. I've been very frustrated with the last few books, because we set out on a task and we never are afforded the opportunity to complete said task.
Here, you know what?
And here we've done it, Eric.
Here's something that I think I'm slowly realizing and still struggling to comprehend every time we read these books, Chad. That oftentimes the decisions that we think are going to lead us to the outcome that we desire are the very ones that lead us away from it. Have you noticed that? I feel like a lot of times we choose the choices that are like, this is going to get us closest to the story we're looking for, or closest to our goal. And then we end up in the back of a van, reading a book from the future, or, you know, somewhere else. And it's just like, what the hell? And then we go back to this one and we're like, no, we're going to wait it out. And what happens, Chad? What happens?
Do you feel, before I tell him, do you feel like this is more like a bigger than choose your own adventure in Cherrick, like, life lesson for everyone? Like, maybe you shouldn't, like, try to plan out your future.
And like, try so hard to control what's happening.
Don't take the obvious choice.
Right. Or the obvious choice is maybe not always the right choice.
The right choice?
Yeah. Definitely, I think there's some life applications there.
I'm going to put it into practice.
All right.
Well, I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay. Yeah, please, because I, you know, I'm curious.
Like, I obviously wanted to choose a dark chocolate dove, but instead, I chose milk chocolate.
Why?
Because it was pink.
Well, that's a reason.
So we decided to wait it out. And Sellers is like, hey, that's fine, man. I get it. Like, we'll, you know, good night's sleep.
Right.
Put things in perspective.
Here's some tea.
And we drink the tea and have some stew. And they show us to our tent has a female guard outside. And we fall asleep rather quickly. Maybe because of the drugs they put in the tea.
Maybe.
But also, it's been a pretty long day.
True. But anyway,
we have these really crazy, vivid, crazy dreams.
Yeah.
The last of which is like Mimla, like
Matt
shaking.
And Mimla.
Like
yeah,
shaking
Mimla
us,
shaking,
trying to
yeah.
wake us up. And we're like, that's weird. And we open our eyes. I'm like, this can't be real.
But it is Matt and Mimla.
But Matt and Mimla are right there.
They're staring at us.
Right in our tent.
And we're like, what?
And Sellers is like, I knew where they were all along. I just had to knock you out so I could go get them to confirm that you weren't like a bad guy.
Right. The bastard. Cheeky bastard Sellers.
But you know, heart of gold, that guy.
True. I mean, would we have done any differently? Probably not.
Probably not. But, you know, so Matt and Mimla confirm what Sellers, you know, told us, and we're like, hey, we should get out of here, but also there's Duradans and corporation spies all over the place around here.
Yeah.
And, they've surely seen your plane by now. Like, we're in it, you know, we're in the soup, if you will. And, says we're in it, you know. Maybe we could go and try to cover your plane up with brush. Maybe they haven't seen it.
Right.
And or maybe you guys could get later. There and take off in the cover of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you guys could just get there and take off now. He says they tend to sleep in. They're a lazy bunch, those Duradans. So that's our choice. If we decide to try and hide the plane and wait till night before taking off, we turn to page 12. We decide to take off immediately. We turn to page 113. Eric, what do you think?
I think that we don't know anything.
That's been proven time and time again.
Like, I wish that we would have had a conversation with Matt and Mimla about...
And, like, figured out what their fucking important information
right.
was.
Right! Like, what are you doing here? What happened? Do you have anything?
What was that note about? What
like,
were you trying to tell us?
Is it imperative that we leave right now? Is sitting around a day going to really screw the pooch?
Right.
My first instinct is just go for it, man. I trust Sellers at this point, and if he says they're a lazy bunch, it's till the wee hours of the morning, I bet we can get away. I'm nervous about waiting around another day, but I also see the wisdom in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... leaving now would be my first option, but I'm open to hear what you have to say about things.
I think we should just leave.
You want to just go?
Because, like, our mission was to find Matt and Mimla. They have important information. Like, we shouldn't dick around for a day and, like, mm-hmm. potentially get killed or kidnapped or...
Right.
Especially when we're certain that the enemy is camped all around us. Like...
Right.
First chance we have, like, a smidgen. Like, a... You know... Small chance is what it is. Like, mm-hmm. we ought to take it and bust ass and go home.
We should. I think it's just the most recent choice we made that has me nervous is because the one we just made and died on was, let's do this now versus wait.
Uh-huh.
And this is a, let's do this now versus wait. And so that's where I get a little nervous, but, you know, but obviously this is like, a very different like choice.
What? It's daytime.
Right.
Skies are clear.
Right.
And, like, we have the... We finally have the people that we set out to find. Like, we have nearly completed our mission. We just need to cross that finish line.
Let's chance it. Let's do it.
You know?
Let's get in that plane and fly the heck out of here.
Okay. We're going to turn to a page 113.
Woo!
We're going to see what happens.
You know... Somehow I knew this was going to happen.
Did you?
I didn't. I don't know. I kind of felt like either way we were maybe going to be screwed. But, I mean, at least in this case, it's not just like we didn't die like we did in the first two endings.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just kind of a, we're probably going to die.
True. Yeah, I mean, this one we...
So we say, now or never, we're going to go out to our plane and get out of Dodge, right?
Yeah.
So we head toward our plane, and just as we approach it, mortar and machine gun fire blow up our plane, and we are now trapped with the rebels surrounded by the corporation and the Duradans with no hope of escape.
Time's all we have, and we don't have much of that.
So we're probably going to die. But hey,
at least... We don't know, because that was the end, y'all.
At least we found our friends. And at least
we
some,
succeeded in
some
finding
rebels
our friends
to help us.
And found some rebel troops. So,
even
you know.
If we do go out, we'll go out fighting versus getting shot down by aliens and crashing into a mountain. So, there's that. You know, that was a pretty good book.
I liked it.
I think it had some nice twisty turns that we ran into.
Aliens?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Mountains?
Yeah, that's another one of them. We literally ran into that
we
one.
We did run into that one. Oh, man. But no, I liked it. Beyond Escape. Adventure 15.
That was pretty nice. You know, we never got to San Francisco.
No, but we still found Matt and Mimla.
I wonder if this is one of those things, like, do you think that R.A. writes the books whereas if we had gone to San Francisco, there would still have been a decision we would have made where we would have met them?
Maybe. Or maybe we discover some other larger plot.
Mm.
That we needed to, like, you know, stop the corporation.
Right. Which could have been pretty cool. But we'll never know.
We'll never know. The only way we'll know is if y'all go and... pick up this book, Choose Your Adventure number 15, Beyond Escape, read it, and tell us what you read.
Give her a read, folks. It's a pretty darn good book. And you know, there wasn't, like, too much reading. It was a very nicely paced...
Yeah, it was a good, well-paced...
It was a very, very well-paced book.
Yeah.
So kudos to R.A. on that one. Episode 15?
This was episode 17.
Sorry. Book 15?
Yes.
That's what I meant. Book 15, Beyond Escape, R.A. Montgomery. Episode 17 of Cherrick. And anything else that I should state right here and right now?
Yeah, we should maybe say thank you to our friends who help us out.
Well, I guess that's a good
point.
Week
in, week out.
That's true.
So, you know their names, Jake and Danielle Prestige of the Blackbird Review wrote our theme music, and we love it so much.
We do.
And thanks to Trevor Dubert of Dubert Creative for our... crazy artwork that we love. So, what, are you singing the theme song?
Yeah, I am. Because it's catchy. and good.
Yeah, it's my ringtone, y'all.
Yeah. Cracks me up every time.
It's my ringtone. Anyway.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much for listening. Certainly hope you enjoyed Beyond Escape. We certainly didn't necessarily escape. So
we never did escape, did we?
No.
It was Beyond Escape.
Not really, yeah. For us, it was definitely Beyond Escape. So title lived up to the book. Book lived up to the title.
Book Maybe. Lived up to the title.
There it is.
There
we
it
got
is.
There.
We got there.
All right. And on that note, folks, we will catch you next time for episode 18, whatever it may be. And
we'll catch you soon. I've been Chad.
And I am Eric.
And together we're...
Cherick.
And we will see you soon.
Bye, y'all.
I mean, we won't actually see you soon. We'll just, like, talk to you soon. So, yeah, cool.
But anyway, seriously.
You know it.
Peace, love, and Cherick.
Oh, yeah.